Diabetes insights, breakthroughs, and innovators. The EASD TV podcast from the annual meeting of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes.
This year's EASD Congress has seen a new consensus report on type 1 diabetes. And with me to discuss it are Richard Holt and Kerstin Nørgaard. I hope I've got that nearly right, from Copenhagen. And first of all, Richard, it's always slightly confusing, consensus guidelines. Where does this fall in the hierarchy?
So when we're thinking about the guidance documents that come from the EASD, there is, as you say, a hierarchy. So right at the very top is the guideline. And we know that we, at this meeting, launched the first ever EASD guideline. But the next rung down, if you like, is the consensus reports. And really the difference between them is the methodology that's used to develop the different types of documents. And the reason why you need to have both is that the guideline is the most robust, but it also takes a long time to actually develop and lots of resources to develop. And in many ways, the EASD needs to be more nimble for some topics. So hence the creation of the consensus report, which has been produced in, or at least the update has been produced in just 9 months, whereas the guideline took 2 years.
So this is a joint production, isn't it? It's the American Diabetes Association and its EASD, and both of you are on the EASD side.
That's correct. So this was a joint venture with our colleagues over in the ADA. So the writing group had 7 members from EASD, 7 members from ADA, and we've been meeting regularly online over the last 9 months or so to create the update of the consensus report.
Okay, so the last consensus report was in the time of COVID. How is this report different, Kerstin, from the one that went before?
So the one thing to say is that the members of the group were exactly the same as in the first report. So it's nice that they all agreed to participate to update it. And then we look carefully through the report to see what did we miss from the last one. And based on that, we included new topics, first of all, and also merged a couple. Not to get it too lengthy, but also the content, of course, had developed a lot because of the treatment possibilities for type 1 diabetes had changed over the 4 years.
So for a person who's coming to this new, what would be the big thing that you would immediately point out to them as being different?
So I think we are stronger in our opinion about, for example, treatment, which is one of my favorite chapters. We are now strong saying that CGM is golden standard for treating type 1 diabetes, although we know that not all people can afford that in the world, but it is golden standard because of the evidence is so strong. And next, on the technology side, we have also emphasized that automated insulin delivery system are simply for most people with type 1 diabetes if they can afford it.
Okay, Richard, what else?
So we've also added some new sections within the report, and this is based on feedback that we have received. So one of those sections is the management of obesity for people with type 1 diabetes. So we know that the rates of obesity among people with type 1 diabetes is at least as high as in the general population. And there are additional challenges for managing obesity in people with type 1 diabetes because of things like hypoglycemia and hyperinsulinemia. And so it was important for us to actually include a specific section about that. We've also included 2 new sections on diabetes-related complications. So first, we have a section on the identification and assessment of microvascular complications, the eye, nerve, kidney complications. And in the first consensus report, we specifically avoided that, not because we didn't think it was important, but because we felt that it wasn't so much specific to type 1 diabetes rather than generically diabetes. But we had very strong feedback from our readership that they would like guidance within the consensus report. So we included that in the update. And similarly, we also have guidance around the management of cardiovascular risk factors.
And give me the full pitch now, both of you, each of you, as to why it's important that your members should be reading this, reading, marking, learning and inwardly digesting this document.
So I think we should do ladies first.
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay.
So first of all, it's really a good paper. If you are less familiar with treating type 1 diabetes, we have simply everything included in that paper, and it's all up to date reference-wise and what's... So the bases are really, really good. So I think it's something people should be familiar with.
So state-of-the-art... Very understandable, written in comprehensive language, fully referenced.
So I think, and obviously the reports, it has tremendous implications for individual clinicians, but I also think it has a broader perspective as well. So if we look at the original reports that was published in 2021, we know that it's been cited academically over 1,000 times in just 4 years, which is an amazing number of citations over a short period of time. But, of course, academic citation is not really exactly where we want to go. We want to see implementation and change in clinical practice. So we know that the consensus reports and provision of guidance improves the variation in care, but it also has impact for payers and for policymakers. And just to give you one example about how the first consensus report had an impact. I know from colleagues at NHS England that when they were producing the UK guidance about the use of continuous glucose monitoring, they actually referenced the EASD-ADA consensus report. So we very much hope that with the update this time, that not only will it improve individual care, but it will also continue to drive service improvements for the management of people with type 1 diabetes.
Fantastic. Very good adverts there for this consensus. There'll be more from EASD TV in a moment.
Thank you for joining us on the podcast of the European Association for the Study of Diabetes. We hope you enjoyed today's insights. If you did, go ahead and hit subscribe and you'll always stay up to date with the latest in diabetes research and discoveries. And if you'd like to dive deeper, you can find plenty more information at EASD.org.